It's October 6th, 2021. This is Taking the Temperature of the NRHA. I'm your host, Bruce Krentz. A reminder just popped up on my phone saying, call CEO Helga Bryant. We all live on our phones, so that's what I'm going to do. Hello, Helga. How are things today?
Hi, Bruce. It's good to hear from you again. Things are good. You know, it's a beautiful fall day. So what more could we want or need, right?
We are coming off Truth and Reconciliation Day on the 30th of September, and that led into some really beautiful days all across Manitoba.
Bruce, I'm really pleased that Canada has made this a national day, that Manitoba also has made it a day to remember, to reflect, and to think about how that reflection will impact on our actions. It was a very good day for me as well. Lots of reflection, lots of watching some of the special broadcasts, you know, from around the country celebrating traditional history and beauty and art and culture, and just a really, really nice day. And you're right, it's interesting how the weather has stayed so beautiful since that day.
Oftentimes in northern Manitoba, our Thanksgiving doesn't look like the one on TV, I guess. The leaves are falling off and it's sleet and snow and slush. But we've got Thanksgiving coming up, and hopefully that weather can hold and people can gather a little bit and celebrate with their families.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of Thanksgiving, Bruce, I mean, it really is a time when, you know, we are grateful for what we have, grateful for our families and our way of life. And, you know, when I think about some of our clients and even some of our staff, you know, concerned with their mental health, and you know, they may not feel quite so thankful as some others might. And this is Mental Health Awareness Week, and I just want us all to sort of, you know, think about that. We hear regularly and know of all of the challenges that some of our communities and our people in the North have with mental health. Just wanted to, you know, remind folks about that. And then I think I would just again talk about the vaccine. And, you know, we do need to have all of our direct care workers declare that they're vaccinated or that they're not vaccinated. They can decline filling out the form, but the individuals who decline and the individuals who are not vaccinated will need to be tested. We need to start the testing on October the 18th. So that's coming up really, really quickly. You know, this is a public health order, so we don't have a choice about this. And it is all about keeping our patients and the vulnerable that we serve healthy, as well as ourselves and our colleagues and our families and friends.
If I don't talk to you before then, have a really great Thanksgiving, Helga, and the best to you and your family.
Thank you. Same to you, Bruce. Bye for now.
Helga mentioned Mental Health Awareness Week, and I think I'd like to dig into that a little deeper in this round of calls, starting with someone I know has been busy doing some recruiting and filling some positions there, Cam Ritzer. Hi, Cam. How are you?
I'm good, Bruce.
I know you've been in your new position for a couple years now. I'm guessing I'm going to try to get this right. Executive Director of Allied Health, Long-Term Care, and Chief Allied Health Officer. Did I get all that?
You did. That's correct. Yep. And I've been in the position now for going on 3 years.
Before that, your role was?
I was the EMS Regional Manager of Clinical Services for EMS.
What all does your role encompass? So who are you supervising, or what programs fall under that great, big, spectacular title?
In the long-term care portfolio, I have my three wonderful nurse managers, Carly, Marianne, and Kristen, and we look after the operations of four regional personal care homes and the SPAs, service purchase agreements, with two First Nation partners in Norway House and Nelson House. And then in my allied health portfolio, I have my absolutely amazing regional manager, Sheree Marie, and between her and I, we look after respiratory therapy, audiology, SLP, occupational therapy, physiotherapy, social work. I am also still the ERS liaison with shared health.
Because you needed more to do. And so over the past few months, you were called on as well to be involved with mental health. And through that, you've done some hiring. We have Mental Health Week coming up. So we've wanted to focus a little bit on what's happening in our mental health and addictions
area. Do you mind telling me who you hired and where they've ended up?
Yeah, not a problem. We have hired an Emmanuel Botang. He is the regional manager of community mental health. He's located in Thompson, came to us from the Department of Families, has been an excellent hire. We also had the wonderful return of Graham Shatford from Digital Health. He is the new manager of Hope North and PACU in Thompson. And as of this morning, it has been my pleasure, and I know it's also Shannon's pleasure, to announce that Patty Baird has taken the position of Director of Mental Health and Addictions. So it's an exciting time. Patty brings with us 24 years of experience all here in the North, and it's just going to really boost our programs.
I've worked with Patty in the past, and I'm really excited about that, to get a chance to work with her again, but just to have her in that role is going to be wonderful. And I think I'll give Graham a call and just see how things are going.
Yep, that's probably a good idea. He can tell you about a lot of exciting things that have been happening at Hope North, and he can even tell you about the wonderful visit we just had from the Minister of Health, Audrey Gordon. She toured Hope North and PACU.
We haven't had a health minister here for a while, so that was huge for the region. That was really
good. It was awesome.
Your portfolio is huge. What are some of the projects or things on the horizon right now for you?
Well, I've got several. I'm really looking forward to our audiology program. Took a look at our wait lists and balancing out services between the PAW and Thompson. And we have been able to secure a second audiologist for the first time in ever. Both are located in Thompson. Kalita has remained with us, as well as Gloria is now there. And we're starting a virtual audiology program that will serve needs of the PAW and area residents. We've hired a new audiology assistant here in the PAW who's going to help facilitate that. And really looking forward to being able to restore that service here in the PAW and area. I'm looking forward to the Clinical Preventative Services Plan, its rollout. I think that's going to drastically change the way that we deliver healthcare here in the North in a more equitable manner. And I'm just so excited, Bruce, to stay a part of this team, to remain a part of Team Northern, because we truly are healthy people, healthy North.
Thanks for that. You've done a yeoman's work so far, and we're not letting you off the hook.
Yeah, it's just been awesome.
Thanks for all the hard work, Cam.
Thank you, and you have a great day, Bruce.
I told Cam I would give Graham Shatford, our manager of Hope North and Acute Mental Services, a call, and I'm a man of my word, so here goes nothing. Hi, Graham, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Bruce. Good to talk to you.
You know, we've both been with the Health Authority for a number of years, and we've changed jobs a few times each and crossed paths. I've never actually sat you down and asked you, what led you to Thompson and what led you to Hope North?
Oh, okay. So I came to Canada in February of 87. The fun fact about that, 2 days in, I decided it'd be a great idea to go for a jog. It was 20-something below, and that was the end of my jogging career, Bruce.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet, yeah. It was a little cool. Moving on, I spent 17 years as a mechanic and was a volunteer firefighter responder for 11 years, and I fixed computers on the side. Shortly after that, I decided on a career change. I went back to school to get my certs in server and network. Honestly, I felt like a grandpa at school, but I managed to survive, and I took a network administrator position with Mystery Lake School Division back in 2005. After a while, I think it was 8 years or so, I was looking for a different challenge and managed to sign on with the RHA as a project coordinator. My first project, you may have heard of it, was the EMR. That little thing, yeah. So I really, really enjoyed working on that project because I believed I was making a difference. I then moved into IT and was a regional manager for 6 years before being pushed into the world of digital health for 2 years. I have a few low-level certificates in mental health and was a SafeTalk trainer until good old COVID hit. I lucked out and I found my dream job, which is manager of Hope North and PACU. I feel very, very lucky to be able to work in a position that I love and finally feel that I'm making a difference again. So life really is great, Bruce.
What a path. And you never really know where life will take you. And oftentimes I think we find our way, and it sounds like you totally have. Can you tell me what Hope North is all about?
Hope North is a wonderful resource for youth, as most people know. It provides them with a safe place to recover from mental health concerns and addictions at times. I'm lucky enough to have a fabulous team who work their butts off to provide the best service possible to our youth both inside the facility, and then they follow up when they return to their homes and communities. It's a very valuable service that we do provide for our youth. I'm very, very proud to be part of that.
When it's your dream job, you've got hopes and things going on in your head. What are some of your goals for the next little while?
Yeah, so some of my personal goals for Hope North would be to regionalize services. I'd love to be able to, well, have the ability to accept youth from across our region and also to work closer with the community to help build capacity in those remote communities.
When I was talking to Cam earlier, he mentioned that we had one of the provincial ministers up here and said that maybe I should ask you about it.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to meet her. So Minister Gordon and Deputy Minister Kaufman, they came. They toured TGH PACU and then came over to Hope North. While they were here, they toured the building and they introduced to our staff over here. They were very engaged and wanted to learn from our staff. It was a real treat to see that.
Just before I let you go, what does Graham Shatford do when he's not at Hope North and PACU?
I really do enjoy spending time in my camp. It's 8 hours away, so I don't get there as often as I'd like, but it's really relaxing down there. I love to fish. I enjoy my smoker, and I made some pretty decent meals with it, actually. Recently, I just started wood burning. It's real fun for me. I really enjoy it. I sit outside on the deck and just play around with making some patterns on wood and pictures and stuff. Very, very therapeutic. Allows me to totally relax.
Yeah. And if you've got anything left over from the smoker, just let me know.
yeah, cool, Bruce. You know where I live.
I'll find you.
Right on, man.
I feel like I'm down a bit of a rabbit hole here now. I talked to Cam about hiring Graham. Graham's the manager of Hope North. I think I'd like to take this right to the front line with Tia Piche, our recovery support navigator. Hi, Tia.
Hi, Bruce.
I'm calling today checking in on mobile crisis. I sort of know what it's about, but you work in it. You got to know it way better than me.
Mobile crisis is a youth mental health service here at Hope North. So we see youth 17 and younger, typically in a mental health crisis. So we see what's going on with the youth. This can be in regards to suicidal ideation, suicide attempts, mental health concerns, or substance misuses. So the mobile crisis team, the clinician and crisis worker will meet with the youth and the family or guardian, determine what the crisis is, what their unmet needs are, and they'll also assess their safety. So at the end of assessments, they will do recommendations and referrals for when they go back home, and we'll do weekly follow-ups with the kids until there's no crisis identified or until they are connected to longer-term services. If they assess their safety and they find the kid is not safe to go home or they need some stabilization from what's going on, then we do have our crisis stabilization unit here at Hope North, and the clinician will make the recommendation for stabilization for a few days.
You work as part of a team, so what specifically is your position?
So my position here in the mobile crisis office is the recovery support navigator. So that's separate from the clinician and the crisis worker. So I'm the daytime staff Monday to Friday, 8 to 4. Mobile crisis team is 7 days a week, even on holidays, noon to midnight. So kind of what I do as a recovery support navigator in the office is I oversee all the files that we have open for the youth. I connect mainly behind the scenes for the kids. So I talk to their parents, their guardians, any service providers that are involved with them, as well as CFS and other social workers. So I just make sure the kids are getting the services they need. I advocate for the family and the youth as well. And there's oftentimes I request circle of care meetings, and that's bringing guardians and all service providers involved in that youth together at a table to talk about who's doing what and what the plan is going forward for the kid.
You mentioned other social workers. Is that your training? Is social work how you ended up at Hope North?
Yeah, I graduated with my bachelor of social work last year, so I've been here for a year and a half now, full time.
You and I first worked together, I guess if you call it that, when you were still a student on a committee put together by the Canadian Foundation for Health Improvement. It was a life promotion suicide prevention initiative, largely aimed at Northern Canada, so people from across the North and Indigenous communities. We did some really amazing training around cultural awareness and allyship, and the project was really rewarding. And from that, there was an offshoot that you just told me about yesterday that you were involved in. What's the scoop on that?
Yeah, so after we completed that work, they reached out, and Thunderbird Partnership was looking for about 8 Indigenous youth at that time, 29 and younger, to develop and create a youth Indigenous life promotion toolkit for all First Nations communities across Canada. So I was selected before COVID hit. I was supposed to travel last year 2 times for that. And then COVID came along and kind of put a halt on everything. There was supposed to be a good chunk of youth creating this toolkit, but due to COVID, they lost a lot of the people they selected. So it was just me and about 8 others, which worked out perfectly. And we met over Zoom and we created and developed this wonderful toolkit that you can find on wisepractices.ca. And we presented it recently in August at the World Indigenous Suicide Prevention Conference.
You got to be kidding me. You presented at a world conference?
Oh, yeah. How
did that feel?
It was so nerve-wracking. I'm just glad it was over Zoom, though, so no one could see me sweat through my shirt. But we got lots more opportunities coming up with that. We have to present again in front of about 1,000 people, government and researchers. And we also were invited now to be a part of Feather Carriers. So I have training coming up in November to be a part of Feather Carriers. So I'm super excited about that opportunity as well.
How amazing for you and for the region to have that knowledge and training here.
I know Graham here discussed using that toolkit as well here at Hope North, because we do have a lot of youth from surrounding communities come and stay with us in the unit. So I'm excited to see where that takes off.
Congratulations on all of that. What does Tia do when she's not a feather carrier and presenting at world conferences?
Well, I am a mom, so if I'm not hanging out with my son in the summertime, I love to golf. That's where you'll usually find me. And other than that, I like to go home, game out, all the chill, relaxing stuff.
Hey, if anyone deserves it, it's you. Thanks for chatting with me.
No problem. Thank you, Bruce.
What a great way to spend part of my day, chatting with Helga, Cam, Graham, and Tia. It's Mental Health Awareness Week. Make sure and take a few minutes to check in on your own mental health and maybe the people around you. You know what? How about this week and every week? And if you get a chance, go to wisepractices.ca and have a look at the toolkit that Tia helped put together. This has been Taking the Temperature of the NRHA. We'll do it again soon. I hope you'll join me. If you want me to give you a call, or if you have someone you think I should call, just drop me a line at bkrentz@nrha.ca.